There's a technology that has the potential to dramatically change trucking. It's called blockchain. If you're like a lot of people, chances are you've either never heard about blockchain, or if you have, you're not exactly sure what it is. Proponents say blockchain could increase efficiency in trucking, but there are other implications, such as affecting day-to-day operations by fleets as well as drivers, and in areas from freight contracts and payments to detention pay for drivers and more. This is Eyes on the Road, presented by Help Incorporated SpreePass, the provider of waystation bypass and toll payment services, along with trucking data visualization technology. I'm Evan Lockridge. As a reporter in trucking for more than 25 years, one of the things I've discovered is that some topics are simply much more complex than others. When it comes to blockchain and trucking, that is certainly the case. And that's because the concept of blockchain is relatively new, and its use in trucking is even more recent. However, blockchain holds the potential to greatly reshape the trucking business. Now, because of that, we're going to do a deep dive into the topic, with this installment of Eyes on the Road being the first part of a two-part series on blockchain and trucking. In this episode, we'll tell you what blockchain is, how it came to be, how it could be used in trucking, as well as about one group made up of big companies both inside and outside of trucking that's pushing the development of blockchain. In part two, we'll talk about the practical implications of blockchain in trucking on both fleets as well as drivers, plus how it's currently being used, whether it's being overhyped, and how blockchain could affect trucking years down the road. Joining me for all this conversation is Chris Burris. He is the president of the group BETA, Blockchain and Transport Alliance, and he's no novice when it comes to trucking or this topic of blockchain. He spent the past 25 years in the trucking business, including being president of the Truckload Carriers Association for 10 years, before holding positions with the Tennessee Trucking and Missouri Trucking Associations. He joins me by phone from his office in Jefferson City, Missouri. Chris, it's good to have you here.
Oh, thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
I'm going to start with the most obvious question before we get into discussing trucking and blockchain, and that's to ask a simple question. What is blockchain?
So blockchain is what's called a decentralized database. If you think about what we have today, think of your banking system. It's a database that has a central authority, in this case, the bank. And in that system, we are asked to believe or to accept that what the bank has in the database is accurate. So we are being asked to trust an entity where trust may not exist. Blockchain looks at this different. It decentralizes the database itself. So rather than having a central authority who controls all the information, blockchain decentralizes that in such a way that there is no owner or central authority. It's distributed amongst any number of computers. Could be hundreds, could be thousands, could be millions. And the principles or the characteristics of blockchain are it's immutable. And what we mean by that is once that information is on the chain, it cannot be altered retroactively. It creates transparency. So all of these computers on this blockchain network have the same copy of that data. So it's redundant. If you think about a bank today, if the bank's central database goes down, you're locked out of the system. If it's hacked, your information could be stolen or compromised. And so there's not really any transparency to that. So in the blockchain world, you're assured of that transparency. It's secure. I made the mistake of saying to my brother, who's a college professor once, that it's virtually unhackable. And his response to that was, you use the word virtually, so that means it's hackable. So what I say now, it's highly improbable because it's secured with cryptography. The example I use is that if you stack the 100 Legos and you, let's just say that represents our blockchain. And let's say somebody with nefarious intent, let's say I wanted to change something in the 98th block. In order to do that, I would have to hack down through the first 97 blocks, through 97 separate cryptographic codes or hashes. And even if I could do that, once I got to the 98th block, as soon as I tried to manipulate or change something in there, all these other computers on the network who have the same copy of the information would recognize that something had changed in that block. And again, because it's immutable and you can't go back retroactively, the rest of the copies of the database would reject any sort of change to a previous block and therefore go back and revert to the original data. So in contrast to the two, it is much more secure. It is redundant copies, which means that any one single source failure does not affect the information. The other thing about blockchain is it's what we call a disintermediary system. And what we mean by that is blockchain seeks to remove as many middlemen or women from a transaction as possible. Blockchain at its base is a peer-to-peer means of transacting. So if you think about it in terms of a real estate transaction, you've got any number of intermediaries in that. You've got brokers, agents, you've got title companies, you've got government in some cases, you've got banks, and all of those add a layer of complexity and a layer of cost. So it's kind of the what if. What if you didn't have to do that? What if, Evan, you and I, you wanted to buy my house and I wanted to sell it? Why can't it be that simple? So that's the big picture of blockchain. It's pretty tough to condense down into a couple of minutes, but that's the general gist of it.
So what led to the development of blockchain? It's all internet-based. Was there like a big bang, so to speak, with the internet that created blockchain?
When blockchain was hypothesized, it was specifically for cryptocurrencies. Bitcoin, obviously, was the origin. The idea of cryptocurrency and Bitcoin being the first one was the origin of blockchain technology. I think where people started to look at the principles of blockchain and then looked at the internet. One of the challenges, biggest challenges with the internet is the idea of data security, data privacy. And, you know, we're all too familiar with, you know, the hacking of Equifax. You know, our data is under constant fire. And so blockchain brought the idea of peer-to-peer transacting. It then turned to solving a number of the problems that not only the internet, but just centralized databases themselves, some of the security risks that are inherent to that, whether that's hacking these denial of service hacks or whether it's actually obtaining people's private information, it's becoming more and more clear that that way of handling data isn't going to be enough in the future. And because blockchain is immutable, because of its cryptography, it is much, much, much harder to manipulate or hack data once it's there. Or, as I said at the outset, try to retroactively change something in a particular block. And so I think that's probably the biggest catalyst behind pushing blockchain much faster than the traditional adoption curve for technology. So I think we will see in a much shorter time span, you know, the widespread adoption of this. And I think in large part, as I said, it's being driven by data security. The other thing I would say is, if we think about with people, you know, we don't trust each other. I mean, I've got great friends, buddies of mine since, you know, grade school. And there's certain things I wouldn't trust them to do. It's just human nature. And so because of that lack of trust, we have any number of intermediaries to help us deal with transactions, not the least of which, you know, attorneys and contracts. And if you think about that, what's a contract? You know, the part that says, if you do this, I'm going to do this, is a very small part of a contract. The most of the contract is what happens if somebody doesn't do that. What are the penalties? Blockchain is a trustless system, but in some ways it creates trust where otherwise there would be none. It takes the need for you and I to even know each other and still be able to transact peer-to-peer effortlessly and seamlessly. So I think it's, you know, it's the nature of trust today. I think it's the data security and data privacy. Those are the two biggest catalysts that made blockchain attractive to the masses from a business context at this point.
Okay, now you've described blockchain and how it got here. Chris, how can blockchain be used in trucking, including giving an example or two?
When we think about the nature of transactions in trucking today, every day there's somewhere around $140 billion that's tied up in disputes for payments. And an average invoice, I think somewhere around 42 days before you receive payment on that. You know, the administrative costs have risen to as high as 20%, and that's due in large part to an over-reliance on the manual systems we have today. So when we think about the instantaneous nature of settling transactions, right? So today, if I show up to pick up a load and I deliver the load is accepted, then we start the clock on how long it's going to take before I am paid for that delivery. In blockchain, it becomes an instantaneous payment. So as soon as I pick up the load, deliver it, and as soon as it's received, payment can be remitted to the carrier. The idea of receivables in that transactional environment becomes a thing of the past, which for obvious reasons is more beneficial not only for trucking companies but for drivers. That's the overall best example, but there's other things that it can do. We talk about something called driver ID. The idea being that what if I as a driver could port everything that I've ever done as a professional driver and take that with me and make it viewable and available to my next potential employer. Things like performance history, safe miles, drug and alcohol testing results, MVR records, community service, family life. I mean, all of these things that are important to be able to demonstrate in order to show that you are a top driver. And if you could do all of that, could you command a higher wage at the next trucking company? As a trucking company, if I had the ability to see all of the things I needed to see and do so ahead of time, could I make a better hiring decision? In other words, finding drivers that will fit the culture, whether it be safety or just the general culture of a company. Now, that's not to suggest that a company would have the ability to see everything about that driver, even things that they weren't entitled to see, because the driver would have control over that information and what information that the company needed to see. That could be the only information I give them access to. So there's another example. We talk about traceability. Right now, it's a very manual system. If I, as a shipper, want to know where my asset is, which is the load, I have to query that from the trucking company today, and that's a very manual process, which creates delays. Blockchain, because of its transparency, gives all parties to the transaction the same visibility at all times. So if I, as a shipper, wanted to know where my asset was, I could see that, and I could know it without having to wait for the trucking company to provide that information. Likewise, for the trucking company, I can see my asset at any given time. And with all the telematics data, bringing it into blockchain, I can see it all in one place. So I have a better, I can control, you know, shifting routes. I can control, I know what temperature fluctuations there are in a trailer, and the shipper would know that as well. So those are just a couple of examples. The thing that I would say is that blockchain is not a solution for everything. There really is a thought process that has to go into it. But so though, anyway, those are just a couple of examples.
In the summer of 2017, your group, Blockchain and Transport Alliance, was founded. And shortly afterwards, Chris, you joined them as president. Who makes up the Blockchain and Transport Alliance, and what are the goals of this group?
So right now, BITA has around 500 member companies. All of the transportation modes are represented in that membership. Many 3 and 4PL companies. We have shippers, technology companies, some large, some small companies like Microsoft, Google, Oracle, all the way down to what we call freight tech startups, companies that are coming into the space trying to make an impact, you know, in blockchain. We have a number of consultants. We have academic institutions. And so all of these companies coming together for two reasons. One is, like any traditional association organization, part of our mission is to provide education, networking, best practices, pairing freight tech startups with other companies, doing proof of concept work. So really serving the broader good of blockchain and supply chain. The other part of it is, and our primary function, or the primary reason we formed in the first place, was to set some standards around blockchain technology. Now, we are platform and technology agnostic, meaning that we're not setting technology standards per se, nor are we interested in developing our own blockchain platform. Where we chose to reside was in the interoperability space. And what I mean by that is, for the end user, whether that's a trucking company or any asset-based company, whether it's a technology company, we simply couldn't just come into the industry and tell everybody take a time out while we develop some technology standards. But we believe that interoperability is going to be a key hindrance if it doesn't come to be. Because if I have to manage multiple blockchain platforms, some of the efficiency that is promised in blockchain melts away. And so we chose to focus on that end user problem and trying to solve that. And so our standards are really more about the data itself and looking at the format of that data. So whether we're talking about location data, for example, whether that's geolocation, whether it's PO box, geospatial, we know that location is central to every transaction in the supply chain. You know, you need to know where your assets are. And so we look, for example, at location and we say, all right, we know that's key. What are the key elements in that location data that need to be consistent across all platforms? And so all of our work is looking at the data fragments, defining what those are, agreeing on what those definitions are, and then creating the framework for the necessary fields to be included in that. And so in those two ways, you know, we serve more of an evangelical role about blockchain, but we are not a policy organization. We don't have lobbying activities. We partner with organizations that, you know, share our interests. And if the day ever comes where we need to advocate, you know, we'll leverage our relationships with them. But we want to stay as far away from lobbying as we can and focus again on trying to solve that end user problem.
I'm talking with Chris Burris, president of the Blockchain and Transport Alliance. Now, we're going to continue this conversation about blockchain and trucking on the next edition of Eyes on the Road, as he and I discuss the practical implications on both fleets and drivers, plus how blockchain is currently being used, claims it's being overhyped, and how blockchain could affect trucking far in the future. Look for this installment of the podcast around the final week of November 2018. In the meantime, you can learn more about blockchain by logging on to the Blockchain and Transport website at bita.studio. That's not a .com, by the way, but rather bita.studio, S-T-U-D-I-O. After you check them out, if you find out you're still hungry for some reading about other topics in trucking, from safety and upcoming changes in regulations to how to challenge truck inspection results, just log on to the PrePass website and check out our blog and resource library at PrePass.com. That's PrePass.com. While you're there, you can also check out all 10 previous episodes of Eyes on the Road. Plus, you can subscribe to this podcast as well as listen to it through Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Android, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, and more. You can also keep up with PrePass through social media by logging on to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm Evan Lockridge. Thank you for listening, and be sure to keep your eyes on the road. We'll be right back.